Well, friends, today's message is entitled, It's Never Too Late. It's not too late to follow the star, not a star, but the star being Jesus Christ Himself. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. Open your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 2. Now, those of you who have been in church any amount of time will already know where God has led me in my final message here in 2019. Christmas celebrations are behind us, but the Christmas story is not. Let me say it again. The Christmas celebrations are behind us. Christmas is over. And many people say, amen, good riddance. No. The Christmas celebrations that we understand here as Americans and much part throughout the world is behind us, but not celebrating King Jesus, the Messiah. No, it's special. We've left out a very important piece known as the Magi. The Magi. Today we'll revisit the scriptures that tells us about these wise men. These wise men who showed up after the birth of Jesus Christ. They weren't a part of the manger scene. We understand that. We try to be a Bible church. And being a Bible church, we want to make sure we are biblically accurate. The Magi were not a part. Now, is there anything wrong putting them in part of that scene? Certainly not. But to be biblically accurate, the Magi showed up many months, if not even more than a year later. We'll be considering how we come to that conclusion today from Matthew chapter 2. But the real question for all of us is, why did the wise men make that trek for months across the desert seeking Jesus? Well, they were told to follow the star by the angel. Is that the real reason that they went and made that journey? No, probably not. Well, they wanted to see the baby, and who doesn't love seeing a baby? Well, the baby now was perhaps an infant, a young child. So why would the wise guys take all this time to leave their home and to seek Jesus? Well, the Bible tells us clearly in verse number 2 and 3 down here. Look at the back part of verse number 2. Matthew 2, verse number 2. We have come to worship Him. Now you let that sink in. The real reason the wise men showed up, these magi, these astrologers, wasn't to be part of a Christmas story, even a Christmas card. They came to worship Jesus. I asked myself in preparing today's message, unlike Sonny, who did not know what he was going to be singing this morning, God gave me this message weeks ago. You go close out 2019 with the Magi, who came for one reason, Sonny, one reason, the same reason you and I should be in church every given time God allows us to be so, to worship Jesus. As much as we enjoy the music, as much as we enjoy the fellowship, tonight, game night with the teenagers and fellowship and prayer, bringing in the new year, ushering in the new year with prayer, certainly. But the real reason we've assembled here at First Fair Lee, as well as those listening by radio right now, is not to hear some corny jokes, is not to be, again, comforted with someone else's handshake and hugs. All those things are important. To be blessed with godly music, the real reason we come to church, the real reason we spend time in the Word is to worship Jesus. That'd be a great place for everyone to say amen. Amen. To worship Jesus, the true meaning of this season. So let's invite Him to be a part of this service right now. Father, into Your presence we come. And just like the wise men many years ago, we want to worship the long-awaited Messiah. Lord, they've been waiting hundreds of years of the earlier prophets that told them. The earlier prophets had told them that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. They knew this. And then when He came, wow, the Shekinah glory, the star, stood over the manger. Wow, the shepherd showed up. And then much later, I believe that same star, Your Shekinah glory, shone again. Shined again, Lord, and the wise men showed up. They've been waiting for the same thing we're waiting for today, the coming of Your King. They looked forward to the first time. We're looking forward to His second coming. So please touch the hearts and the minds of everyone who's listening. by radio, by the internet, or here assembled at First Fair League, God, we want to be a Bible church. So we don't want to close Christmas out. We don't want to just skip over this very important portion of Scripture that completes much of the Christmas story. No, we're like Simeon. We can't wait to see the Christ child. So help us to appreciate what these magi experienced. And more importantly, help us to seek Jesus, the true star of Christmas, before it is eternally too late. We pray this in His name, by Your grace and blessings. And all of God's children said, amen. It's not too late to follow the star. Friends, consider with me Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 as introduction to today's message, and you will understand where I'm going with this. Verses 1 through 3. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. And they said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Verse number 3. Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and so was Jerusalem all about him. You ever heard the expression, if mama's not happy, no one's happy? Such was the case here with King Herod. Self-proclaimed king of the Jews. He wasn't even Jewish. He wasn't troubled, friends. He was angry. This is introduction to today's message. The entire chapter, chapter 2 of Matthew, is dedicated to the Messiah coming and worshiping the king and also being used of God to set the record straight that Herod was not the king. Jesus, the Christ, was a king of the Jews, not Herod. He was very, very jealous. We'll be learning much about him. But just look with me in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Of all the passages of Scriptures found in God's holy word, this chapter, in my estimation, this chapter may very well be the best example that I know of where proper biblical systematic hermeneutics is often overlooked. What does that mean? Let's have a Bible class here today, shall we? Most of us know the story of the wise men showing up. Most of us agree they weren't kings. Most of us agree there wasn't three of them just because they brought three gifts. Most of us agree they weren't there in the manger scene. So we know all these things. So we kind of yawn at Matthew chapter 2. But friends, in practicing good hermeneutics, the principles of rightly dividing the word of truth using biblical principles, precept upon precept, systematic theology, we're going to be discovering from verses 1, 2, and 3 the real truth behind this Article D of the Christmas story, the Magi. I have up here in the pulpit some things I treasure. Last week I showed perhaps one of my favorite Christmas cards. And God laid on my heart this week, Dallas, you were also blessed with some family photo Christmas cards. Perhaps your family makes something like this. This is some friends of ours over in Virginia, and their family continues to expand. I remember baptizing these two little girls who are now grown women with children of their own. So we have these Christmas cards from them. We also have another young lady who was in our youth department who the doctor says she probably would never be able to have children. She'd almost given up the idea of even being married. And lo and behold, God brought a Christian man in Virginia Beach in her presence, and now they have three beautiful children. And when I receive Christmas cards like this, I look back at the times we prayed over this young woman, not to get married, not to be happy, but just to be in God's presence and to be patient, and God used her and also blessed her womb. I wish you could see this card. I wish you could see the card of my own family, my son, Timothy, and his wife, and our three grandchildren. I wish you could see the card up here of Gary and Brenda Wallace, even down to their matching gloves. Now, that's just corny. I'm telling you the truth. But by Gary's own testimony, Gary shouldn't be here today, a cancer survivor. I have pictures here of the Atkins family. Friends, thank you. Paul, Erica, and the girls, when I received this one on our refrigerator. Thank you. Not only neighbors, but good friends. And this blended, beautiful family. They love God. And they're going on vacation tomorrow. So I'm going to get a little personal here. As Christmas cards, they're going on vacation tomorrow. It's very, very tempting to stay at home when you're going on vacation tomorrow. But yet they said, we want to be here with our children today in church. So thank you, God, for allowing me to enjoy that Christmas card. I have beautiful Liz here. Have you received this? Her graduation photo, but also Merry Christmas from Liz Tolman. Just a beautiful young lady in the Lord. So faithful. Right, Brian? So faithful to this church. Andy in the youth department. Thank you, Liz, for that. But I have right here a photo taken at the beach. A series of photos. Four photos here of the Taylor family. And I don't mind saying, when I got this, Alfred, Linda, it brought great joy to my heart. See how God has blessed your family. Standing in the same exact spot as some beautiful beach location, no doubt during the summertime, and everybody here is just beautifully adorned in summer apparel. But then when you turn on the back, there's Alfred and Linda just talking, sharing with us how much God has blessed their family. And I love the rustic look. When I think of Teaberry Road, I think of the Taylors down there and the rustic look in their home. Alfred said a humble home, but a home full of love. He said, we might be ordinary people. We love Jesus, and God needs some ordinary people. He said, but Dallas, as I showed him this morning, I said, Alfred, I don't know if I've had a chance to thank you for this beautiful card. I enjoy all these photo cards. I own this beautiful card. He said, well, make sure if you go show this in the pulpit, that's not a bottle of champagne or liquor in front of us, that sparkling apple cider down there. I didn't even notice that, Alfred. But you and Linda, what a photo opportunity. But why am I showing all these different photos of families up here? Because if a camera was invented 2,000 years ago, which we understand it was not, if a camera was invented this time and somebody, a shepherd, somebody took a photo of the manger scene, do you know who would not be a part of this photo? The wise men. The shepherds would be there, Mary, Joseph, the baby, but the wise men didn't show up until later. Why is that important? Well, let's find out in our scriptures again. Look at me in verses 1, 2, and 3. Friends, it's simply tempting to enjoy this extremely familiar story rather than practicing, like I said, good systematic theology and rightly dividing the word of truth. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to be defining some very important words in verses 1, 2, and 3. So follow on your Bibles now. I'm going to be taking time. We're going to slow down our approach to this entire chapter, and we're going to be unpacking some very important articles of our faith and how this fits into our Christmas story, beginning with verse number 1. Now, after Jesus was born, all right, class, who am I talking about? When we mention Jesus, who am I talking about? Someone tell me. Today's not going to be rhetorical. Help me out. Who's Jesus? The Savior of the world, who else is Jesus? The Son of God, who else is Jesus? The Lord, who else is Jesus? Adonai, King of Kings, all these things. Certainly, yes! You see, the world will give us baby Jesus. He's not a threat. Brother Woodard, you know this. The world doesn't care we have Christmas cards with baby Jesus on there. Just don't try to make him be the King of Kings, God in the flesh. And we say things like Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say, the Son of God became the Son of Man so sons of men could become sons of God. And I would be perplexed. As a young preacher boy, I just followed Adrian Rogers and Charles Stanley and David Jeremiah and all the different great men of our faith. And I started to really listen to this. The Son of God, Jesus, became the Son of Man born through a virgin. Virgin birth. By a show of hands, who believed Jesus was virgin birth? Yes. Yes, through the chosen vessel, Mary. The Son of God, Jesus, became the Son of Man, born of a virgin. Through sons of men, you and I behind, could then be adopted in God's family, become sons of God. Part of heirs to the King. Doesn't that make sense? Now to us, we understand this. But to the world, when they read verses 1, 2, and 3, they just kind of skip over. Now, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the days of Judea, blah, blah, blah. They're missing some very important parts of Scripture. Precept upon precept. You see, the world is going to be getting ready to experience another new year, 2020. And as much as the world wants to deny that Jesus was God in the flesh, John 1:14, the Christ, the King over all, they still honor him just through our timetable. You ever think about this? Here in just a matter of a few short days, we'll be celebrating that the Lord doesn't return. 2020, well, even the Lord does return, we'll be raptured out and the world will be left behind and their timetable will still remain the same. You have B.C. and A.D. What does B.C. stand for? Before Christ. That's a timetable leading up before Christ. Much of the world doesn't realize they do this. It's like when they say Xmas, X-M-A-S. You don't need to be a Greek scholar to understand X in the Greek language typically is capitalized. You know what X in the Greek language means? Christ, Christos. Someone says, I'm going to X out Jesus. I always say, please do. Because to the Chi Theta guys like myself, we understand you're still saying Christ must. And I say, thank you for honoring my King. I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but you can't deny that Jesus is the reason for Christmas. The Son of God became the Son of Man, so sons and daughters could become heirs, adopted into His family in heaven one day. So B.C. is before Christ, our timetable, and Jesus was born approximately 2 or 3 A.D., depending on which Jewish calendar you want to look at. What does A.D. stand for? We often say after death. That's not it. Where's my Latin scholars? Yet, Anno Domini. Yes. And what does that Anno Domini stand for? In the year of our, let me say it again. Anno Domini. In the year of our Lord. Everyone say Lord. Lord. So even those who deny this portion of Scripture, they're not worried about the wise guys. They're not worried about Herod, supposed king of the Jews. They're overlooking Christ himself. And even their timetable points to Jesus. So here again, we are going to be unpacking precept upon precept, participle upon participle, subject upon subject. Jesus was the Christ. Watch this. Born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, a small, seemingly insignificant town located just about 5 or 6 miles below Jerusalem. This Judean township was the birthplace of King David, remember David from the Old Testament, as well as the ancestors of Joseph, Mary's husband. It was prophesied that the birthplace of Christ, that is mentioned here in the New Testament, would also refer to this chapter. In A.D. 325, Helena, the mother of the Emperor Constantine, built a church over the supposed site of the manger. Who is Constantine? Let's have a history lesson. Emperor Constantine, who was he? He was the Emperor of Rome in about the 300 A.D.s. Something exciting happened, if my memory serves me well, in college. 313 A.D., in the year of our Lord, Constantine, the Roman emperor, became a Christian. And this time, the church was underground. But he wanted to let the world know he was a Christian. So he made Christianity legal. And while that sounds good, if you know anything about your history, it became very, very polluted, very, very cheapened, very, very weakened. If you ever studied church history out, you understand that the underground church often is the strongest. That's why we take up this collection at Christmas. The International Mission Board still has missionaries, thousands of missionaries in the Southern Baptist world alone, not counting our independent missionary friends and all the others that are out there. The underground church is very, very strong, but when the government got involved, Constantine said, hey, here's what I want to do. I'm a Christian. I want everybody to be a Christian. And he had mass baptisms. He had mass professions without confessions. What do you mean? People have said, I'll say a prayer just to shut him up. And he weakened the cause of Christ. Well, his mother, Helena, was so still moved by her Christianity, she built a church over the supposed site of the manger. But a century later, a larger church was built over the same site, perhaps some of you have been there, is known as the Church of the Nativity. Folks, all this was prophesied. Look in verse number 1 again. Jesus, we've already established who Jesus is, was born in Bethlehem, this small, insignificant town. Folks, it was prophesied in the Old Testament. And people say, well, it's really not mentioned too much in the New Testament. You've already attested to that. Well, let me show you some place that it is mentioned that I'd really take to heart. Turn with me to the right, please. Go to the book of John. John chapter 7. We want to be a Bible church, and this morning is more of a Bible study. We don't want to yawn at this portion of Scripture. We don't want to say, yeah, we get it. The wise men showed up later. They're really not that important. Of course they're important. They played a vital role in Jesus being led out by his mother and his father out of the hand of Herod, the massacre, Herod the maniac. I'm in John chapter 7. We're still looking for Bethlehem in Scripture. John chapter 7, verse number 40. Let's just start there. John chapter 7, verse number 40, the Bible says, therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet, talking about Christ. Others said, no. Look in verse 41. This is the Christ. But then some said, wait a minute. Will Christ really come out of Galilee? Then someone in verse number 42, which we want to land in, said, wait a minute. Listen to me. Has not the Scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and also from the town of Bethlehem, where David was before? So friends, when you connect the dots here, you will see, turn back with me to Matthew chapter 2, you and I will see that Jesus was the Christ, that Bethlehem was so important. Yes, this small township, by today, what, some 15, 20,000 people living there? Bethlehem, a very, very important part of the Christmas story. Certainly. Well, why wouldn't the wise men go to Bethlehem? Why did they go to Jerusalem? Well, let's look in verse number 1 again. After Jesus was born, we settled that virgin birth, the Son of God, in Bethlehem of Judea. Yes, we've already settled that. His ancestors prophesied before. In the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. These wise guys showed up late. They weren't upset because they missed the party. They weren't upset because they weren't at the manger scene. They weren't upset because they weren't part of the photo, the family photo there. I was thinking when I was driving in today, I'm already starting to see it manifest itself all around this area. You know who really gets upset the week, the month after Christmas? You know who really gets upset in our time, in our living time? Trash men. Amen? Trash men. You go down any given street, any part of beautiful Greenbrier County, on any given trash day, you'll see the trash cans pulled out there, just laid in wait. I mean, it looks like a shot out of a rifle, nice and straight. Now, it looks like Walmart and Belkner exploded. Every street's got trash piled up, and the trash men, I've been told, they hate the first week and the following week. Folks, I'm telling you again, the wise men weren't jealous because they weren't there. They showed up late. They weren't upset. But who's this King Herod guy? Look in verse number 1 again. Jesus, we got it. Bethlehem, we got it. The wise men, we'll get to them in just a moment, but Herod the king. Allow me to read. Herod the king, appointed by Rome and representing the Jewish community, see, he's a double-edged sword here. He's appointed by Rome, and yet he also represented the Jewish community, self-appointed. He was given the title King of the Jews, although not a Jew himself. And he served for approximately 40 years before the birth of Christ, Herod the king. He liked to be called Herod the Great. Better, I refer to him as Herod the Insane, Herod the Crazy. Why? He had 10 separate wives. Now, men, That'd be a great place for you and I to just say, keep quiet. He had 10 wives on purpose. And I'm moving on. Herod the insane, Herod the paranoid. He was very, very jealous. Watch this. He murdered many of his own sons. He murdered his brother-in-law, drowned him to death. He murdered his mother-in-law. He murdered one of his 10 wives. And anyone else he feared might want to take over his role. He was Herod the paranoid. He's also known around the world as Herod the great architect, as he built many lavish buildings, such as a temple in Jerusalem. People look at the temple in Jerusalem in this day and say, wow, isn't that beautiful? You know why he built this beautiful temple in Jerusalem? Did he not already call himself King of the Jews? Guess who he wanted to be worshipped in this temple? Himself. Me, myself, and I. Herod the architect. Many roads, amphitheaters, cities, the city of Caesarea, Samaria, many others. He's also known, in my estimation, Herod the butcher, as he slaughtered many unborn boys age 2 and under, as found in this story. Oh yes, Herod started off as a great military leader, an orator, a peacemaker when needed. He was skilled, he was suave, he was persuasive tax collector. He could get all the juice out of an orange without making the people upset and revolt against Rome. He even took some of his own funds during time of a famine and showed some sort of a humanitarian interest. He fed the people, Jews and Gentiles, and Rome during this time. But he left a horrible legacy on his deathbed. Listen to this. He realized he was going to die. Historians tell us he was in his 70s. And people are already starting to whisper about it. Aren't you going to be glad when the old king is dead? He heard this. So what he did, he collected all the wealthy people of Jerusalem. He enslaved them, put them in prison, and he left my final order. The day I die, I want you to murder all the people that are now in prison under this last order of mine. So people in Jerusalem will be wailing and lamenting. And I want the crowd to think they're wailing, lamenting over me. How insane, how messed up was this guy? Now, don't you think when the Bible says in verse number 3, when King Herod, the same Herod, heard the wise men coming looking for the real Messiah, the real King of the Jews, the real King of the Jews, don't you think his anger, his jealousy welled up? Wait a minute, I'm the king, I'm the King of the Jews. Hey, here's a thought. Why don't you tell me where that baby is so I may go and worship him? Now do you understand the backdrop to this? Do you understand what's taking place? Well, consider with me over here the wise men. We're still in verse number 1. I'm going to hurry here. The wise men. Who are these wise men? Well, we know a lot about them, and we know some other things that have been speculated. We know they were not kings. We know that. We know there was not three. We know they were not representatives of Noah. I've heard this. Representatives of Noah. Their lineage goes all the way back to Noah with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Their priestly lineage goes from what? Man's making that up. That's not good hermeneutics. That's not good Bible practicing principles. The Magi, the word itself is very difficult to define. Yes, they came from a priestly tribe of the Old Testament. Yes, they were in the Babylonian and Medo-Persian captivities. Yes, they were nomadic. They spent a lot of their times outdoors. Yes, studying the stars. Yes, they were very educated. Therefore, they were well aware of the coming of Christ. Yes, they have been under the tutelage of Daniel in the book of Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, they were part of that whole thing. They heard about the coming of the Messiah, certainly. They understood this. Daniel taught them after the den of lions. By the way, what's the difference between the den of lions and the lion's den? Let's have a little Sunday school lesson here real quick. You say Daniel was thrown into the den of lions or he's thrown into the lion's den. What's the difference? You can be thrown to a lion's den and there's no lions there. You got that? You're thrown to the lion's den. That doesn't, again, imply that there's lions there. But if you say, listen, boys and girls, moms and dads, Daniel was there. God rescued him out of the den of lions, not just a lion's den, but the den of lions. That kind of overlaps with our story today. These guys who were considered magicians, astrologers, they showed up and they followed, I believe, the Shekinah glory of God, his star. Here we are in verse number 2. They're saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Can't you imagine how angry that must have made Herod? I'm still in verse number 2. For we have seen his star, the star of God, as God planted for them in the east, and have come to worship him. Now, here's my greatest speculation you may ever hear about the Christmas story. If I had to really draw a direct line, I know they showed up months later, if not more than a year later. Their journey alone from Egypt was quite a travel. Not by train, not by airplane. When did that star show up? It very well could be, my speculation, when Christ was born, that very night. And then the wise men came together and said, you see that special star? Not just any star, that's the Shekinah glory of God. It's tonight, the night, the baby is born, God in the flesh, as Micah chapter 5, verse number 2 prophesied, as Daniel taught us, as we have learned ever since we've been a child up, is tonight the night, and that star burned brightly and led them to Jerusalem. I'm going to hurry here. Folks, again, now and only now can we understand and appreciate the rest of the story. I'm going to read quickly. You follow along with your eyes. Verse number 3, they had followed the star. They came to Jerusalem. Naturally, they're going to go to a palace where the king would be born. But when Herod the king heard this in verse number 3, he was very troubled. What an understatement, really. And everybody around him, certainly, please don't upset the king. Now we know what a maniac he is. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. You ever notice that in verse number 4? If he really is the king of the Jews, he should know Micah chapter 5, verse number 2. He should know the teachings of Daniel. He should know the teachings of Ezekiel. He should be well aware of the teaching of Isaiah, especially. And yet he had to pull his so-called scholars together and say, now, wait a minute. Have you all read anywhere in the writings of any of the prophets or Moses, anybody at all, where the Christ child is to be born? He's showing his hand. He didn't know. So they go and they say, well, hey, listen, in Bethlehem, in verse number 5, they quote scripture behind that. Then Herod, verse number 7, he secretly called the wise men together. He asked them, now, when exactly did the star appear? You see, he's trying to put a timetable to it. So he sent them to Bethlehem. He said, listen, if it's close by, only a few miles away, just take the southern road, go to Bethlehem in verse number 8, go and search out this young child. Now, we've got to be careful with the word child there. It can be used for infant as well as a toddler. But when you come, you find him, bring back the word so I'll know where he is, and I want to come and worship him also. Folks, you and I both know in verse number 8 and following, he didn't want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill Jesus. He's very, very jealous, insane, insanely jealous. Verse number 9, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the same star which they had seen in the east went before them again till it came and stood over where the young child was. It wasn't in a manger, the Bible says. It's in a house. We'll see this. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great sorrow. Is that what it says in verse number 10? No, joy. Anytime you sing about joy, David Jeremiah says, you're really singing with the Magi and the shepherds on the hillside. Great joy. And when they came into the house, see in verse number 11, I remember being in Bible college and seminaries, guys wanted to square off in the parking lot about this. Well, house and child still doesn't imply they weren't there at the manger. Are you kidding me? They couldn't give the proper gifts for the circumcision of Jesus later. They didn't receive the gold, the frankincense, and myrrh. No, it much later, friends. We could spend hours in this. Watch this. Verse number 11. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. You know what I take from that? I take today's title, It's Never Too Late to Follow the Star. The very reason I asked you just 30 minutes ago, why have you assembled here today? To worship Jesus. They didn't lose sight of that. Brother Gary, you know why churches go through splits? You know why Christians argue and bicker and fight? You know why? Because they lose sight of that. That's it. Why are we here as a church? To worship Jesus. And I love this church for so many reasons. But you know what I don't hear in this church? That's my classroom. Don't touch it. We don't care. I think we have 14, 15 different Sunday school classes. And sometimes we have to move people around to accommodate the crowd. Praise the Lord. Jeff doesn't say, that's my choir. That's this and that. No. We say this is God's house to the glory of God. We're here to worship Him. How many of you know this is not our church? If you raise your hand and you say it is your church, let me see the scars on your hand. Folks, we didn't die for this church. This is God's church. So they didn't lose sight of the fact they went to worship Jesus. They stayed on point. And then, of course, they gave Him the signature gifts. Gold, His representing His kingship. Frankincense, representing His deity. And myrrh, someone has said, representing His death. Isn't that beautiful? A full, complete picture of Jesus Christ. And then they were warned, again, in verse number 12, not to Herod, this maniac. So they departed to their own country. They went back from whence they came. How do you think Herod responded to this? Well, you go read it here with me quickly. When they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord, in verse 13, appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, listen, there's trouble. Take the young child and his mother, Mother Mary, flee to Egypt. Get out of here, for goodness sakes, don't go to Jerusalem. Herod's waiting on you here. Stay there until I bring you word. Herod is going to seek to destroy the child. Folks, how many of you know that God is smarter than us? Wow! God knew this was going to take place. So Joseph did what he was told in verse number 14. Took him, they left. And he was there until the death of Herod. Verse 15. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, saying, the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. Well, you think, great, ding dong, the witch is dead. The king is dead. Nope, his son was a maniac as well. What? Folks, the massacre here now, these beautiful children. Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, he's still living at this point, just showing here in proof and text that Mary, Joseph, and the baby stayed away for a long period of time, not in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, left as told by God through the angel. Verse 16, Herod, when he saw that he was deceived, he was tricked, look in verse 16, by the wise men. The Bible clearly says he became incited, angry, upset. And he sent forth this decree to kill all the babies, the young boys. Children who were in Bethlehem and all the districts thereof of the province of Rome from 2 years old and under. If he was still an infant, why would you kill a 2-year-old child? He threw a blanket over this. We're still looking at a timetable. So again, today's more of a Bible lesson. And then, of course, the prophecy was lived out in verse 17 and 18. But then the family of God finally returns back in verse 19 to their own hometown. When Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, now it's safe. Arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life now are dead. So he arose, took the child, verse 21, and the mother, and came to the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus was reigning, this is Herod's son, who also was a jealous maniac, over Judea, instead of his father, Herod, he also became afraid to go to Jerusalem. So being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside and went to the region of Galilee, which we know in verse 23, we will finish here. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Friends, this doesn't complete all of the Christmas story. We know Jesus Christ came to die. He came to die. He didn't come to be a baby in a manger only. He didn't come to be part of our Christmas cards only, or our children's programs, he came to die for the sins of mankind. And wise men still seek that. Wise men still follow that star. We're going to sing not a Christmas responsive song, but a classic song. I have decided to follow the star, to follow Jesus. Look at your handout. 2020 is right around the corner. So here's the outset, the closing of our question, the outset of this new year. Who are you and I going to follow in 2020? What star are we going to follow? A Hollywood star? Our favorite sports star? Follow ourselves? Follow a pastor? Who are we really going to follow? I submit to you we should be following Jesus the Christ. And all of God's children said, Father, into your presence again we come, thanking you for the Christmas story as laid out here beautifully before us in the Holy Scriptures. Not become Bible scholars, but become followers of the Christ, the sacrificial Paschal Lamb. Oh, help us to follow him in 2020 as never before. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. And, of course, this opportunity of salvation for someone who may be outside the family of God. Please touch them through the power of your Holy Ghost right now. We pray this, of course, in the anointed name of Christ, more than just a baby, the Messiah. And all God's children said, once again, amen.